Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Let the record indicate it is now 5:01 p.m. and the Finance Committee is called to order. I just want to go over a few procedural things before we start. We have a lot of issues to deal with this evening. I would just want to remind everyone that the comments that you're all willing to able to make regarding anything that's on the bid package, you must keep your comments focused on the merits of the bid. So I know that there very well could be some emotion, but please make my job easy so that I don't have to gavel anyone down. Keep the comments to the bid item. I appreciate everyone's support, but we got to play by the rules. So with that said, I also, before we continue on, I just want to let everyone know, and we'll be speaking to this again as we move a little further. When we get to about 6:15 this evening, if we have not completed the committee agendas, we're going to put a hold on them so that we can convene the full City Council meeting at 6:30. At such time, we will have the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll have the National Anthem. The Council President will be calling for communication from the council members, and then we'll be going into executive communication, which the council president will speak to regarding that also. So let's get going. I need a motion on the minutes from December 15th.
Move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We have four yeses.
Do you have to abstain this? You aren't here.
Oh, you know what? I've been on this council for 13 years, and in 13 years, I've missed two meetings, and I forgot about that one. Thank you, Councilman. So, correction. I abstain, and we have three yeses. We'll move on to the consent calendar, and I need a motion on that, please.
Move favorable action on the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Once again, I will be abstaining, and I need a vote. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I abstain. So we have three yeses and one abstain. Thank you. So we're going to move on to PCR 126, the bid package. The first item is 2026-295, various replacement auto parts. Hi, Christy. Please identify yourself for the record. I know who you are, but not everybody in the room does.
Good evening, Christy Moretti, Public Works. Public Works is requesting to award the bid 2026-295 for various replacement automotive parts in the amount of $836,600 for a one-year period, February 18-26 to February 17-27. And I just want to point out there are two other requests after this one. They all say $836,600, but that dollar amount is for all three bids. It's not for each bid individually.
So thank you for that, Christy. Again, for the benefit of the folks that have not always been able to attend, this item is $836,600, but it is spread out in various components to two other departments. So it's the DPW department. It will be original parts for vehicles, and also a sub B. Bear with me. So before I ask any questions on this item, I want to point out something that I feel is very important. And I've spoken about it numerous times over the years. And that is list price, discount, and net cost. In this packet, we have for these items, there's a whole bunch of items that are priced. And I know some emphasis has been put on the discount rather than the significance of the list price. So what we have here tonight is a perfect example of what I've been trying to drive home with the significance of the list price. Which list price? Is there a list price? Which list price do we go by? In this packet, we have the very first item. It's the same identical numbers, part numbers. It's the manufacturer is Delco Remy. We have one vendor who offers a 73% discount. And we have another vendor that offers a 70% discount. But the difference is in the list price. Same item, same product number. The list price from one vendor is $465.31. The list price from another vendor is $657. So, of course, the list price makes a difference. In this case, the higher discount is the cheaper price. But it doesn't always work out that way. So if we look at another item in this bid package, and I'm not going to go through them, I got about probably a couple of dozen of these very examples. Another item, same exact product number, it's Ultima Select, whatever that is. One vendor has a 73% discount, the other vendor has a 70% discount. So if the list price doesn't matter, and you're going to go exclusively with the discount, in this case, you're going to make an error. Because the list price at 73% discount is $378.42. The discount, 73%, for a net cost of $102.17. The other vendor, same item, same numbers, has a list price of $339.07 with a 70% discount for a net price of $101.72. Now, I realize we're only talking pennies, but we're not. We're talking taxpayer dollars. And you cannot purchase anything with only a list, I'm sorry, with only a discount if you don't know what the list price is. And this is a perfect example. So, enough said on that. I think I drove the point home. The only item that I have on this, Christy, is I have to object to the Lawson bid being included. I understand and agree with your rationale for including the other vendors. We know things are difficult to get. Prices are like all over the place. Inventory can be difficult. But I am personally going to be objecting to Lawson being included because all they included was the discount. They did not provide you or us with a list price. And I have to object to that because it makes zero sense to me. That's why I just went through that little exercise that I did, because most of the people in the audience here tonight kind of haven't been involved in this so much. I cannot agree to award a vendor a bid if we don't know what the list price is, because they can turn around and charge us whatever they please, especially in this case where the other vendors have provided their prices, their list price, their discount price. So now Lawson is at a distinct advantage when they price this. And I think that's wrong. But before I make a request on this, I would like to hear from my colleagues on the committee. Are there any questions? Okay. Councilman Knapp, go ahead.
Director, we just heard the chairman speak a lot about the list prices. You and I had a conversation about how these list prices actually play out in real time.
Yes.
When we make the purchases. Just to clarify for everyone here, the list prices that are submitted on these bid packages, these vendors are not locked into those prices. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And why is that?
Because the market, the automotive market, the prices fluctuate daily. So on the day that they submitted their bids, whatever date that was, those list prices are no longer valid, more than likely. And the other thing I just wanted to address too, as far as Lawson, I can see where Councilman Lattiser is coming from, but these vendors give us I'm not sure if this particular one, they did provide us with a document, like a catalog, which obviously is not included. It can be pretty extensive. And then other vendors do also, we have like a specific login for the city of Warwick. So we shop around anytime we buy anything. I think we've shown that as well in our last request we made for a vendor that saved the city $10,000 to get parts for one of our dump trucks. So with all due respect, I completely see where your point is driven home on Lawson, but it's not that, it's just when the bids are submitted, you get a snapshot, obviously, of what their pricing is, but there could be more backup to it. That's just not part of the bid package.
So the list prices we see here in the packages that we receive via your office, those are a snapshot on the date that they filled out this paperwork?
Yes.
Okay. And is it fair to say that those are mostly for illustrative purposes?
Yes, because the bid specifically requires the vendors to hold the discount firm, not the pricing.
Okay. And that's the stipulation that they hold the discount firm and not the list price. That's in the package that goes out for bid to every vendor?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the stipulation as both parties understand.
Yes. For all the, well, this bid and the two that follow, well, I'm sorry, the one that follows for the OEM parts. And then after that is, the third one, I'm sure we'll discuss, but,
far as you know, is that is that practice customary for most cities and towns to have the discount locked in the list price?
A lot of the cities and towns don't actually even go out to bid. They just piggyback a Sourcewell, which we've utilized on certain occasions when it benefits the city. But in this case and like other cases with bids that we have, we don't necessarily always piggyback the state or another government bidding entity. We do it ourselves.
Okay. And who actually checks when you send out a purchase order? Who does the double checking of are they actually accurately quoting the list price on the day of purchase, or who does that cross checking?
So we have a stock person that will get quotes for any parts that they need, and then the automotive chief obviously oversees that, so he'll look at them as well, and then they come across my desk. So there's three people looking at the purchase order or the request for parts.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Chairman. If I'm just going to, with all due respect, on that list price thing, it seems as though somewhere along the line we're missing the point. I understand that the list price today may not be the list price tomorrow. I get that. I understand that. I was in the remodeling business for over 40 years. I understand about how prices work. However, I also understand this example, a battery today. We get a bid on a battery today. The battery is $300 list price. The discount is 20%. Your net price today is $240. I have a starting point. The starting point is $300. If you order that battery in a month from now or 2 months from now, and that list price comes in at $500 with a 20% discount, you are going to realize you just got taken advantage of, because it's highly unlikely that battery went from 300 to 500. There's nobody in this chamber today would go to any store and buy anything and say, okay, how much is this phone? Well, Ed, we're going to give you 20% off on that phone. I'll take it. Does not happen. I will never condone that, whether I'm sitting here or I'm sitting elsewhere. I will not condone that. You can't get to there if you don't know where you are here. The retail price, I'm sorry, the list price is where you are today. You need the starting point. That's only everyday business sense. Councilman Muto.
Hi, Christy. Two questions. One, what did we spend for this category last year?
$620,755.73.
Okay. And the increase is based on what assumptions?
It's not an increase. It's actually a decrease in our annual requests. It's a cumulative, as you see in your bid package on page one, it's a cumulative request of the line items that encompass the automotive division that we buy parts from. Mm-hmm. We've actually reduced it by $50,000 because 65,250 went from 750,000, excuse me, from 800,000 to 750,000. So instead of asking for $886,600, we are now asking for $836,600.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. Because I had trouble balancing that with Munis. And that's because you rolled the three categories together, just to be clear.
I'm sorry.
That's because you rolled the three categories together.
Yes.
Okay. Follow-up question is, this bid prep package, you have six or seven vendors here. When you approach purchasing parts, do you look for just one, or do you cross-reference all of them and look for the best net dollar cost versus percent in list price?
We always go to the lowest vendor first. You know, obviously we gather quotes, we go to the lowest vendor. Depending on what kind of vehicle it is, if it's something that can wait a couple of days, we'll do that. If it's something that can't wait, then we go to the next lowest vendor to secure the part. So if it's, you know, obviously something that's fire-related, we have to get that back up and running back on the road. At this time of year, if it's something plow-related, we have to do that as well. Sanitation always takes a priority. So anything else though, you know, like if we have a Crown Victoria that needs to be fixed for whatever reason, those we can you know, put on the wait list until we get the other things up and running.
Okay. Okay. So that actually raises a concern for me, because I was under the assumption that you had a list of vendors and we were going for the lowest cost across the vendors, instead of being the lowest cost based on the initial bid, which then I have to go back and defend Councilman Lattiser, is if that is your base number and that person or that company has a base low number, then you're defaulting going to that one instead of looking across the vendors or looking for the...
No, we search more than one vendor. on this bid. Well, we do it with other bids that we have multiple vendors too. But on this bid, we will go to multiple vendors and say, hey, do you have this? How much is it? And when can you get it to us?
Okay.
And then we make a decision based on first, how much is it? And when you can get it to us. But when you can get it to us is based on what vehicle it's needed for.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying, because you initially said that it was the lowest bid.
Sorry.
At first, which triggers the red alerts. All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilman. So to follow up on Councilman Muto, Christy, essentially what you're requesting from the Finance Committee is to approve an increase of just about 40% over what you spent last year. Is that accurate?
No.
Over what you spent?
We always historically have asked for what our line items are budgeted for in the automotive division for us to purchase parts. So it's those particular line items that we use to purchase parts. And then we've reduced our historic requests by $50,000. So we're requesting what we have budgeted to spend. It doesn't mean we're going to spend it. So 2 years ago, we spent $859,230.10. This year, so far, we spent $661,863.58. So we have to have the ability to buy what we need to keep all the vehicles moving. But obviously, we make the request for what we're allowed to spend, but it doesn't mean that we spend it all.
Sure.
Councilman, you have 2 minutes.
Do you have a list of what your anticipated needs are for this year?
No.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Councilman Napa, go ahead, please.
Christy, when you're saying that what you've spent year to date, is that fiscal year to date or is that contract period to date?
That's the contract period.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything further from the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks, and if I don't recognize you, your hands up, your lights up, just give me a shout, okay, because I can't kind of see on my left and my right. Councilman Ricks, please.
Thank you. Yeah, for members of the public, those who haven't heard me give this particular speech before, perhaps a little background can be helpful here as well. Big picture, we don't want a situation where the person ordering these various parts, and there are a lot of parts on this particular list, is basically just going online, looking it up, and doing it in a haphazard way. So even though this is a large list of various parts, we still have to make sure that there's the this public hearing process, this bid process. So even though it may seem like there's some minutiae here, it really is a matter of having all of these documents submitted, go through the regular bid process, be examined by members of the council and particularly members of the Finance Committee, who I know do their due diligence, spend many hours on this. And for all the reasons stated by Chairman Lattiser and other members of the committee, it's important to have those numbers there, go through that process to make sure that we're getting the best deals on record for the city of Warwick, save some money that way. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Anything further from any other members of the council? Hearing none, any questions or comments from members of the public? Do we have any questions or comments from members of the public? Please state your name for the record. And I would just remind everyone to keep your comments and questions related to the bid items.
Rob Cody, Ward 7.
Hello.
Thank you, Councilman Lattiser, for asking the appropriate questions that the taxpayer really needs to know so we know how our money's being spent and if it's being spent wisely. So pertaining to this $836,000, I'm assuming that there's a procedure to come up with this number of $836,000. So am I to believe that what you do is you have a projection of each and every part that you feel that you're going to need, and then you go up and you look up all these parts, what the total cost is, and then you come up with the $836,000. Is that how it works?
Christy, could you answer that, please?
The number is derived from five different budget codes that we have allocated yearly. They all have a maximum attached to them. So the first one, 65250, is $750,000. That's primarily where the bulk of our parts come from. And then we have four other budget codes. The second would be 65239, which is $50,600. And then there are, after that, there are two budgeted at $10,000 and one at $16,000. So that's where that $836,600 comes from.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that $836,000, do you have that broken down into an inventory of specific components that you are projecting to purchase?
No.
Okay. That's a problem. So that number's arbitrary, right? So you're basically saying that we think that we might use this amount of money, but you don't have on hand an accurate inventory of parts based on maintenance records, based on service records, that you feel what specific parts will have to be procured to keep the vehicles running. You don't have that. So, for example, when you go on the warwick.gov/bids list, right, you're supposed to see everything there. So you can't see anything. So I can't go on as a taxpayer. All I can say is, hey, we're going to spend $836,000 on parts. Well, what parts? Right? So from a person in private business that was in retail, you keep an inventory control. So this leads me to believe that, like, do we have a formal inventory control in the city of Warwick? So in other words, if you've got, whatever, 10 alternators in stock and you use two, are they scanned? Do we know which those alternators, which vehicles they went in? And do you keep a running inventory and tally of every part? Do we have that? Do we have like an, if I said to you, if I put forth a public records request and said, hey, I want to see every single part that you have in inventory, when you purchased it, and which parts went to which vehicles. Do you have that?
We have repair orders for all the vehicles that we work on, and all the parts are listed on there. We do have a stock room. As far as an inventory program, they are rolling out one first, I think, with the police department, if I'm not mistaken, relatively soon. And then I think somewhere in there we're slated to be after them. However, with the volume of vehicles that we fix, we do keep certain things. We keep air cans. We keep, we have air filters. We have oil filters. We have belts. We have everything from, you know, nuts and bolts to tie wraps. And we have all of that stuff. We have cans of brake clean and bottles of windshield washer fluid and wipers. And we have all that stuff in our stock room, but we don't stock things like, you know, if an arm on a sanitation truck goes, we're not going to spend $25,000 just to have one on hand. Or maybe we just need components to repair an arm on a sanitation truck. So we don't need the whole thing. So when things like that go wrong or things that we can't necessarily predict, obviously we keep two sets of brakes on hand for rescues. You know, if they come in and need brakes done, I mean, they go through them relatively often with the amount of time they're on the road. But so there's a lot of stuff that gets delivered to us the day of or the next day because we don't keep it in stock. It's not something, one, we don't have room for, and two, it could be something that, you know, goes wrong every 2 years.
So I understand that, but what you do keep in stock, and I'm sure you keep quite a bit of merchandise in stock, do you have a formal protocol for an inventory? Like, is there inventory control that when you take one item off what your inventory is, you have a document that shows that inventory? Like, you go into any supermarket, any pot store, and all they have to do is look at it and say, okay, we've got six of these in stock. Do we have anything formalized like that where if a member of the general public did a public records request and said, I want to see everything that you have in stock for inventory, and I want to see all the prices. Do you have that?
Well, like I just said, they're going to be rolling that program out with the police department first. They are a smaller version, much smaller version of what we do.
And right. So the answer is no, you don't have a formal
exactly
program.
That's exactly what I said. No, we don't.
No. Okay. So that's a problem, right? You're coming here for almost $1 million worth of parts that we want. No inventory control, right? Nothing's itemized. There's no list of this $836,000, of all the components that are going to add up to $836,000, what we reasonably project that we're going to use based upon our previous year's maintenance or our history, right? You think the taxpayers think that that's a good thing to do? Is there any business person that would say, oh, yeah, we conduct business like that all the time? You don't. Nobody in private business conducts business like that. And that's why we have problems, and that's why we ask questions, and that's why Mr. Lattisaw asks these questions and is trying to be specific. Because on each meeting that I come to, it seems like basic protocol of merchandising and inventory is violated, accounting procedures violated. And I would assume that a lot of these parts that are being replaced are because of wear and tear. Is that right?
I'm sorry.
I'm assuming that a lot of these parts that are replaced on a regular basis is wear and tear.
There's a good number of wear and tear, you know, brakes and, you know, things like that. But we also have other major components that need to be replaced for whatever reason, that a vehicle's out of service. And you also have to keep in mind that we're not just fixing sanitation vehicles. We fix highway, we fix sanitation, we fix field maintenance, building maintenance, fire, transwick, water, sewer.
But everything that we're talking about here is parts.
Excuse me. We fix everything except for police and then the vehicles that are at the annex building, like buildings and assessors. We don't fix those. But we fix everything else.
But this $836,000 is relative to automotive parts.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And the reason I ask in terms of the wear and tear is, as you all know, at any given day, I can videotape trucks driving around the city aimlessly, hiding out, not
Mr.
doing
Cody,
anywhere.
Mr. Cody, stick to the bid.
And, well, it's relative because it's wear and tear and it's parts that have to be replaced when we're not seeing anything, any work being performed. Look, you know, it's 2026. Every retailer, every person who houses inventory has a formalized, computerized system to house their inventory, and they know exactly how many nuts and bolts and widgets and fan belts and everything else we have, and tires. I don't need to remind you that several years ago, we had this issue with tires, where tires were mysteriously disappearing, but we didn't have an inventory control, and we still don't have an inventory control today, and it's ridiculous.
Thank you. Next, just please identify yourself for the record, and again, just a reminder.
Hi, my name is Michael DeSalvia. I also have an issue with spending $800,000 on parts and not knowing what they're for. Mr. Lattisaw, you owned a business. If I came up to you and says, I need $800,000 for some parts, would you just say, here's the $800,000? What parts are you getting? What do you need these for? This is just ridiculous spending the way the city of Warwick runs. All they do is spend, spend, spend. And no one cares about where the money comes from because we'll just raise taxes on everybody. Let's raise the taxes again. So more people got to leave the city. This is ridiculous.
Thank you.
Everyone have a good day.
Identify yourself for the record, please. And again, a reminder, just...
Robert Cushman, former Warwick City Councilman.
Reserve your comments to the bid, please.
Yes. My questions is concerning, I think, the lack of transparency as a taxpayer when I look at a bid like this. So there's a couple, Christy answered a couple questions I had. But this bid is $836,000, and she basically said it's made up of five different budget line item codes. Why aren't those listed for the taxpayers to see? You know, basically what we have here is we have a bid number 2026-295, it's called Various Replacement Automotive Parts, DPW. So as a taxpayer, as someone who's studied the budget for the last 20 years, when I take a look at this sitting at home today, I looked at, okay, let's see, what line items would make up $836,600? I looked at 65-250, mechanical parts, $750,000. Now, I know Christy just said there's four other line items. Why aren't those listed? Why a taxpayer should be able to understand where these items are being expensed from. And Mr. Lasso, I want to just congratulate you on being a member of the Finance Committee that has tried to ask questions, that has tried to put in place procedures that make it more viable for a taxpayer to understand what's going on. And I'm just going to say one thing. I think it's disgraceful that they're removing you as the finance chair. Okay.
Mr. Cushman,
yes.
Stick to the so, table, please.
Here's my question. I guess to Christy, I was looking at 65-250 mechanical parts. Last year at this time, according to the budget document, up until 3/31/25, $456,510 was spent in 9 months, right? How much money was spent at the end of fiscal 25 on this line item?
You mean at the end of the budget cycle?
Yes.
Give me 1 second.
Not a tough question. I hope my time is suspended.
Mr. Cushman, while they're trying to get that answer for you, do you have any other questions that may have an answer ready?
Yeah, well, let me, maybe I can help them out here. So when we look at the projected expenses for this line item at the end of fiscal year 25, it was $802,500. So I guess my question is, you spent $456,000 in 9 months. Did you spend $350,000 in the final 3 months of the fiscal year?
So you've already indicated the answer to your question?
No,
your first question.
I don't know the answer. I'm looking at the budget document that you guys approved in May of this year. It had the total amount of money expensed from this line item as $456,510 through March 31st of 2025. The projected expense was $802,500. I want to know what the actual expense was. They should know that by now. Mm-hmm.
Christy, are you ready for that?
Just some issues connecting to the internet, but yes, I can get it. Just give me one.
And my question is, you spent $456,520 in 9 months, right? Through the end of March. You were projected to spend $350,000 in 3 months. Is that what you did? And why would you do that? Why would you?
Are you ready for your answer?
Yes.
So at the end of fiscal year 25, we had an overall budget in 65-250 of $800,000. And we spent at the end of fiscal year 25, $604,419.13.
Okay.
So which left us with an available balance that goes back to the general fund of $198,080.87.
Okay. So the $802,500 that was projected during the budget hearings was incorrect, right?
There's always a projection. That's what we expect to spend. So yes, we never know what's going to happen with our vehicles. You know, my son's check engine light went on.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find out what's wrong with it. It's not something that I was expecting to happen, but it needs to be fixed. So, you know, we can't always predict when something needs a repair. Can we predict when it needs tires? Yes, we look at them. Can we predict when it might need brakes? Yes, they look at them, or the driver brings it in.
What was the total expense?
Hey, these feel spongy.
Mr. Cushman, let her finish.
I know,
please.
I have limited time, though. She's going off on a tangent here. Okay. What was the total amount that you spent again? 600 and what?
604-419-13. Yep.
Okay. So in 2020, it was 652. In 2021, it was 660. In 2023, it was 633. Why are you budgeting $750,000 when you never even came close to that?
So in In fiscal year 22, we spent $751,591.76. In fiscal year, In fiscal year 22, we spent $858,401.59.
Yeah.
I can keep going backwards if you'd like me to.
No, that's okay.
So why we ask for that amount of money, there's multiple things that have to be considered. The age of our vehicles, the wear and tear on our vehicles, as well as the economy.
Okay.
It's not the type of thing where we can just, you know, put it a number like dead on and say we're only going to spend $600,000. We ask for, you know, what we anticipate we will need to spend to fix all of the department vehicles that I listed earlier. And if we don't need it, then we don't spend it.
Okay. In line item 63239, I think you said there's $50,600 budgeted for that. That's supplies miscellaneous. Are those line items different from the line items in the mechanical parts?
Yes.
60, and then, and you, why don't you separate? I mean, is there any ways for the taxpayers to, like to Mr. Cody's point, to be able to see what line items make up the supplies miscellaneous versus which line items make up the mechanical parts, because you're putting them all into one bid?
So, because all of those line items make up that dollar amount that we're requesting. Okay. So I have to put them into the document. Yep. However, if you look at the bid package, the budget code numbers are there. They don't have the budget code title. It's not a function of public works. I don't know if that's something that, you know, is necessary, but the budget codes are there for what we're asking for.
Is that documentation, was that online for the taxpayers to see? Because I couldn't find it.
Yes.
You mean this?
This is part of the bid document.
No, I have the bid document. All the things you're talking about now with all those line items. Yep. I went to the council meeting minutes. I looked at the agenda. All they had was a three-page bid package. There's no other details. So the information that they have and that you're talking about, that is that available?
This is all advertised online prior to the meeting.
Well, how do we find that?
It's on the city's website. I'm not sure.
Don't ask me. You know I'm not Mr. Technology, so don't ask me.
It's not there. I'm telling you, it's not there. So can anybody?
It has to be there for us to discuss it. It's part of the open meeting.
Excuse me. Let's just take a breath here.
Bill Facendi, Chief Staff of the Mayor. It's under the City Council's tab on the website.
I looked there. It's not there.
It is there. Councilman Ricks, excuse me, Chief. Councilman Ricks, did you want to weigh in on this? Do you have something to add to this? Let's cut to the chase.
Through the chair, to Mr. Cushman, going on the City Council website, clicking on the meeting, I believe that you had reached that page. It can be a bit confusing because there are multiple separately listed PDFs relative to the bid package.
Yeah.
This particular one is the third item down, listed as bid underscore package underscore 01052026. It is a 142 total page document. The budget codes are listed on the seventh page of 142, near the top of that page. And to add a little bit to the confusion, that seventh page out of 142 is labeled as the first page.
So what's the name of it? I would just like to be able to see that. What's the name of that document?
It is the third item there out of the several dozen PDFs listed, bid underscore package underscore 01-05-2026.pdf.
Okay, I'll have to take a look.
If you go to the city's website, Mr. Cushman, hi.
Yep.
If you go to the city's website, okay, and you go to government and you pick city council,
yeah,
it's right there.
Okay.
So you can either choose off the calendar end of it, because there's two spots to choose from, or on the left-hand side.
I couldn't find it. All right, that's my fault. I guess one last question here now, too. So in this bid package, we have, I guess there's three different paragraphs here. We have, you know, the various automotive parts. Then there's a 2026-301A. 2026-301B. How is the taxpayer supposed to know what's the difference? And 301B is a 56.6. Why is that a 56.6? I'm just looking for a little bit more transparency. Maybe it's in the documents. I couldn't find it. But I think all these questions, you know, I should be able to get by going through the documents online and not without having to come to the city council.
Christy, I know you have a comment for that.
We haven't gotten to the other items, so I'm not sure if you want to discuss them like out of order or.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
We haven't gotten to the other items that Mr. Cushman's referring to, the 301A and 301B. So I don't know if you want to finish with this one and move on discuss them all at once.
She's made it.
So I don't have to come back. I'll ask you my question now, and maybe you can ask later. You know, when I take a look at this bid package, you're breaking it down to three different things. To me, it shouldn't say the same amount, $836,600 for 301A, and it shouldn't say $836,600 for 301B. It sounds like they're different bids. I just don't understand, you know, why it's being presented that way, and maybe you could find out why. But, you know, I guess the bottom line to me, I think the way this is presented could be a lot more clearer with better documentation. I mean, why not put the line items associated with these bids right on the document? You know, so it's very easy for a layperson or someone to come in and see. I think you guys got to start looking at, especially with the change of leadership on this finance committee, to make it easier for taxpayers to understand how our money is being spent in the city of Warwick.
Ma'am, please. I'm sorry? Yes, could you just use the mic so I can hear you? Because I can't hear what's going on in the back. Councilman Foley, he is the timekeeper. He is really good with it, too. Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Jessica. I am a Warwick resident, so I'm not as prepared as everybody else. I don't have a list, but I just came really to remind you guys of your duty to the residents of Warwick. We should be able to ask questions.
Excuse me.
This is definitely in relation to finances.
But no, this isn't specific. This isn't like a generic thing of finances.
Yep.
I'm sorry to say you have to keep your comments indicative to this item that we're bidding now, which is the various replacement auto parts.
Okay. So the auto parts, right. So I'm getting to that. So obviously the problem is that you guys can't even identify what you're spending and questions are being asked about spending. So that's the point I was getting to. So my point is, as a Warwick resident, I'm responsible and you guys keep track of my water bill. Every upgrade that I do on my house, you guys find a way for me to pay more in taxes. And I'm getting to it. And we cannot identify how we're spending our taxpayer money. So I encourage you guys to realize why you're here and why you're in your seats is to make sure that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing with our taxpayer dollars. Anyone on this council who asks questions, congratulations to you. That is your job. That's why you're here.
Just again,
please find a way to identify how we're spending our money. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Conversations going on all over the place. If you want to speak to me, request that you are acknowledged so I can hear and understand what you're saying. So who would like to speak behind me? Anyone? I don't need to be called sir. I just need to know when someone wants to ask a question or has a comment, whether it be out of the audience, out of the members of the committee, or behind me. I can't respond to things that I don't know. Councilman Ricks.
I would just state that I think that the Finance Committee under your leadership is doing a fantastic job. The bid package alone, we're looking at
usually. Thank you, but let's stick to the bid.
Every 2 weeks. Items such as this take significant time for you all to look through, and all of the documentation is there every couple of weeks, a couple of times a month,
Councilman Ricks,
hundreds of pages. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Let's let's not make my job more difficult, please. Just stick to the bid items. I do not want to have to be gaveling anyone. I do need to know what is being said and what is going on. Do we have any other questions on item 2026-295? Okay. Now we'll move on to item 2026-301A. If there are any questions, let's make them something other than what was already asked on the previous bid. If there are any points that someone wants to make specifically to 2026-301A, please do so, but let's keep it to the item at hand. Any questions from members of the committee? All right, let's just hold on 1 minute. Christy, so in this bid package, on these items right here, we have, as an example, somebody equipment. We have the position paper, okay? Then we have half a dozen pages accompanying it. But here's my problem. This was given to us. And this isn't even a question I should have to be asking now. It shouldn't have come to us this way. On this item, vendor name, there's no name. It's just, there's no name. It's got items on here, no bid. I go to the next page, there's no vendor name. The next page, no vendor name, no vendor name. It's got no bids, no bids. But my question is, I don't know for certain, I don't know at all, if these sheets right here belong to that equipment company.
They do.
I don't know. Christy, with all due respect, I don't know, because it doesn't say. So I sit here and I look at this and I say, okay, there's no way for me to identify this. And they're not the only one. There's other bidders in this package, two, maybe three others, the same thing. And what we have is we have a bunch of pages with nothing on them, and there's no vendors listed at all. I don't know how or why something like that would come before us. I don't know why something like this isn't identified and said, hey, wait a minute, excuse me, we need to know who the vendor is. And just write it down so we know. This way, I don't have to hear people saying, oh, you're asking a lot of questions.
May I explain?
What's that?
May I explain?
Please.
So the first vendor that submitted a bid was Sanitary Equipment. Okay. And they wrote no bid on a bunch of these pages that was part of the bid package. But they can't bid on all of these parts, because they can't provide them. So they bid on Labrie parts, which they do provide because it's an OEM part. This is the OEM bid. So Sanitary Equipment can't give us MAC parts because they don't make them. That's why they're all blank except for the particular parts that these vendors can provide. These are the pricing sheets from the bid. So what you're seeing is exactly what the vendor submitted.
Christy, I am not trying to give you a hard time. What I'm looking at is, I don't know what I'm looking at. And we're saying, okay, well, that's the vendor. So on page 20, I have a bunch of list prices over here. I have no name at the top. Christy, how do I know? How does this committee know? How would the members of the public know who this belonged to? There's no indication here of anything. And then how do we know this wasn't Tasker's bid? The reason we know it's not Tasker's bid, at least Tasker, they have their name on this, so I know that it's Tasker. This type of procedures just don't make sense to me. And that's probably why I'm in trouble. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at these and I'm saying, okay, so to the defense of whoever's getting all these bids, you're getting a lot of bids. I understand that. The departments get a lot of bids. Purchasing gets a lot of bids. They have a lot of things that they have to go through. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, so how do I know that some of these sheets weren't mixed up? Not intentionally, accidentally. You got a lot of stuff all spread out. This is something, to me, this is like really simple. This isn't something I should have to ask in advance. Who is the vendor on page 21? I don't know. Who's the vendor on page 22? I don't know. This is why I have to ask these questions. So you are 100% confident that all of these pages belong to the indicated vendor before it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Please identify yourself for the record.
Rob and Cody,
once again, Mr. Cody, once again, please keep the comments to the bid.
Thank you. So relative to this bid, when you go on the bid sheets from page 23 all the way down to page 37 or 38, the only company that gave anything itemized was Tasca. Everything else is blank. So, look, I understand Christy has a Herculean task, and I think she does a really good job, right? But the problem is, in 2026, we're sending out stuff that we're sending back with pencil and paper and eraser marks, and this is not any type of electronic transmission where you send this to the vendor and the vendor enters it and sends it back to you, right? So what are we doing? Are we doing this by mail? We send it out to them, they fill it out, and what does it say? No bid, no bid, no bid for 30 pages. No bid, no bid, no bid, and then you got 10 items that Tasca actually gave a bid and gave their percentage discount. So how do you reasonably come up with a number of $836,000 when out of everybody that you asked to give us a quote on a thermostat, you have no bid? And the taxpayer is supposed to accept this as, like, you know, what is this, 1930, right? You're handing it to the mailman's delivering it to Tasca, Tasca fills it out, then they got eraser marks, and then they mail it back. This is something that should be done in a matter of seconds, where it's transmitted electronically, they enter it from their inventory system, and you receive it, and you got a hard copy, and then there's no questions. Then you don't have guys like me and Cushman wasting our time coming out here and explaining how antiquated the city of Warwick is. We don't want to do this, but this is ridiculous. And this is millions and millions of dollars every year. And what happens? The only guy that asks questions, we're going to remove him so we can rubber stamp everything. It's sickening.
Robert Cushman. I'm going to keep this brief. I actually feel bad that Christy has to go through this with antiquated systems. I'm an IT guy. Business analyst. I should be able to, if I was a purchasing guy, to say to the purchasing department, I want a spreadsheet that shows every single line item that's being bid as part of this bid package. I want to be able to see across the top every single vendor that's bidding on it and the price. And at the end, it should all add up to 800 and whatever, 60 something thousand. I just looked at that document. That document is a disgrace, and it's not her fault. Someone better get together with the purchasing department and get us into the freaking 21st century, because this is a disgrace the way we're doing things in the city of Warwick, and it's not her fault. The fact of the matter is that we should have systems in place where you don't have handwritten documents. We saw what happened years ago with the fire department with sick time sheets and all that, with pencil and paper. This city council needs to get on board and get us into the 21st century.
Thank you.